This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of the Defocus Media Podcast. I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, and I'm here with Dr. Daryl Glover.
Greetings, colleagues. Jen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How's your practice experience been during this tough time?
Jen, it's been great, but right now I'm actually wearing several hats. I'm the technician, I'm the doctor, I'm the cleaner. Every day is a struggle, but every day is great because I'm doing something that I love and that I'm very passionate about. So overall, everything's been pretty cool.
Well, I know those are words that our guest, Dr. Millicent Knight, can really relate to. She's wearing many hats right now, and it's all because of her passion for optometry.
Yeah, Dr. Knight, if you don't mind just telling us who you are and the many hats that you wear with Essilor as well.
Well, you know, I'm Senior Vice President of Customer Development at Essilor. So my team manages sales training, any kind of ECP training and education that takes place. We're responsible for professional relations, sponsorships, schools. So we've got a lot of things going on. And in between that, lately, the last couple of months, since we've been sheltering from home, I've been both at home school teacher and as well as a short order cook.
Wow.
Meals a day. You know, it's been pretty intense.
So out of wearing multiple hats, all that hard work, taking care of home, playing Superwoman, basically. Have you done anything that's been fun and exciting at all?
I did a virtual commencement address today. And one of the things that for my undergraduate.
Now that's amazing.
Amazing, yeah. But one of the things I said was out of this daunting situation comes an opportunity for each of us to do better and to be better. And so it's almost a reset opportunity. And for a lot of practices, that's a good opportunity to get back in there. Look at your business. Look at your mission. Does it still make sense? Is the business plan tight enough to take you into the next situation that potentially we might go into? So this is serving as sort of a wake-up call for a number of us and a big, big opportunity, as I said, to do better and to be better.
Well, what you just shared is exactly what we want to talk about today, because along with her team at Essilor, Dr. Knight has developed the Healthy Practice Guidelines to help offices not only reopen safely, but to foster the long-term health of the practice. You can access that information by going to essilorpro.com/COVID-19. We're going to be breaking down the key points of this guide to get practices off to an excellent start right off the gate and maintain that success going forward.
First thing I want to say is that, you know, we're stronger together. It's an opportunity, particularly if you're in a small practice by yourself. This is probably not the best time to try and navigate and learn all the information that you need to find to be able to really bring your practice to the next level. Number one, it's a lot of information out there. And there are organizations that can help call that information, put it into a database and make it easily consumable. So that's where I think and we can talk a little bit more about this in a minute, but having like a study group or being part of an alliance or something where you're just not out there by yourself trying to navigate this journey that we're on right now. So it's a good opportunity to choose your partners well, leverage the power of community, look at your state associations, your national associations. They all have a plethora of information available to be able to guide you through the steps that you need to do, both, first of all, to keep your business open and to keep it sound and solid. And then there's clinical advice. I know that the AOA was running webinars every week, or at least on a regular cadence, where they were communicating information for next steps and best practices around going after the CARES Act and information around that and really how you navigate that whole situation. And then all the alliances, and I know VisionSource in particular was out front early on, really getting in there, getting that information, gathering data, a special hub set up, COVID-19 hub that was set up to deliver that information to all of their members. And to be able to share those early practices for those who were really out front or those who really didn't close their offices at all, but were open for emergency cases, and to really be able to share some of those practices early on. So that's one of the first tips. And then, you know, you can be the best clinician in the world, but if your office is closed, you know, because it's not financially sound, that's really a disservice to everyone, all the stakeholders, including the community. So not to mention you, your staff, your patients, but the whole community suffers in that case. So it's a really good opportunity to make sure that you have access to people who can help advise you. When you run into a crisis, that's not the time to start looking for a personal banker or a lawyer. And now you don't have to hire these people necessarily, but you need to have access to them. You need to have access to an HR specialist, someone who can help you navigate some of the intricacies of that. I don't know about you guys, but when I graduated from optometry school, HR was not in the curriculum.
Not at all.
So those are things that are kind of challenging, and you should be doing the things that you do best. You get somebody else to do those other things. You know, you should be generating revenue for the business and keeping the business strong and solid. You're the leader of the business. You get somebody else who can best do those particular things that really help benefit the practice. So, now, those are some of the biggest things. And then this is a great opportunity too to really take inventory on your manufacturing partners and your partners in the industry, because this is not the time to have transactional relationships. This is a time to have true partnerships. And, you know, I know at Essilor, we provided through our ECP University free courses for staff members. You know, while people were sheltering at home, this was an opportunity to take that time and really shore up in the areas where you might have some gaps, be that in optics or for your staff, or the most important area to me, which is the front desk. You know, we tend to put the weakest link sometimes on the front desk, but that's the most important spot. And, you know, you need to have someone that really understands how to comprehensively manage that space and get the best experience for the patient.
Absolutely.
We've provided that. And those are the types of resources that are available. Again, this is a time to get key partners and leverage them.
Everything you're mentioning is an important part of the Healthy Practice Guidelines, tip number one, which is choosing your partners. If you have partnerships or relationships with vendors that aren't providing a valuable benefit to you, it's time to rethink those. Could you share some of the value of being a part of a doctor's alliance right now?
Maybe you guys know, when I was in practice, I owned a practice for about 20 years in Evanston, Illinois. And I was part of Vision Source for about 13 years. And the reason was I like the power of community. I'm an early adopter. I like technology. I was able to have access to new information. I had a medical model practice. I liked access to building and coding education. And a lot of that was relatively new for the masses of optometry. So we had, through VisionSource, access to a lot of really premier information in that space, access to a lot of technology, the best pricing in the industry on that technology. And so it, for me, moving my practice, because I'll tell you what happened in 2008, I had to make a decision. Because it's sort of like a critical point like now, I reevaluated my mission. I rethought through my business plan, and I decided that I needed to expand and offer greater services across the board. So I was going to do more eye wellness. I was going to do more medical eye. And I was really going to spend the critical time talking to my patients when they're in the optical, prescribing from the chair first, and then having that reinforced so that you've kind of only done half the job if you prescribe the medical solutions, you know, the drops, the, you know, things like that. And then you don't prescribe the things that people need to deal and address with some of the ocular fatigue, the computer vision syndrome that we've all been going through with working from home. If you're only doing half the job if you don't give them the optical solution that they need to relieve some of the stress and visual strain that they might be experiencing. So it was just, like I said, this is a time to reassess all the tools that you have at your disposal. And there's a lot of information out there. But the thing I loved about VisionSource was you had someone that you could reach out to right away with a specific issue that you have for your practice. And if they couldn't answer it, they found someone who could. It was just nice to have right at your fingertips access to a community of people who thought very similarly, people who are care about their businesses, care about the experience their patients are going to receive, and really care about monitoring their business and tracking, following metrics, and making sure that they're growing the most successful business that they can while providing the best care to their patients. So that's what I loved about it.
You know, Dr. Knight, you bring up a great point. You know, having a team, having a village, having someone that you can lean on and ask questions makes a world of difference, because you have to have a strong supporting cast. And being a part of Alliance Group, I can clearly see where that could be very beneficial. I've heard great things about Alliance Groups, in particular about Vision Source. I was just on another podcast webinar not too long ago, and apparently the running joke is when folks go to these different conferences and they're buying equipment or products, whatever it may be, everyone's always like, I want the Vision Source price, because apparently you guys give the best price or get the best pricing when it comes to negotiating for the team members or the practices that you guys have underneath that umbrella. I can see the strength in having a team. I can see the strength in having that buying power. But I know there's a lot of other things out there outside of just buying products and having that best price point. If you don't mind just talking about that in a little bit more detail as well.
But that's the tangible. There's a lot of intangibles. And this particular time period was where, to me, the intangibles really became priceless. The opportunity to have that hub that you can go through, that you can get step by step, this is what you need to do to get paid, to get your money, to be able to know what protocols you need to implement right away so that you stay in a safe place. How do you communicate to your patients? How do you gain confidence? How do you help your patients gain confidence? And I'll tell you one other thing. How do you get your staff to feel confident that you as a leader are taking the right steps to safeguard everyone's health, including theirs? There are some tangible and intangibles. You know, patients might voice that they're uncomfortable, but if you think about it, they're all frontline providers, and ECPs in general. I've been reading a lot of research on data, particularly around ophthalmologists, and a lot of the data comes from China, and that, you know, a lot of the patients are seen comprehensively by ophthalmologists. But I think it applies to the US and eye care professionals here, in that we are the frontline providers. We are the ones who are seriously at risk because, number one, we spend a lot of time with the patient in tight quarters. Mm-hmm. Number two, we have a lot of traffic that comes to the office. So it's time and space. It's the amount of time you have people, the amount of people you have coming in, and the amount of time you spend in close contact. And that's why having those protocols, having them early on, and making sure that you have a champion, if you will, in the practice, that makes sure that everyone is following them every day, after each patient, each hour, each day, each week. And when a new staff member comes on, that person starts over with them and makes sure that they're all shored up. Because you can't drop the ball, you can't get comfortable after a month, you can't get relaxed. You really got to keep the protocols going.
Wow, this is great, because I know in the early stages of COVID-19, and even now, everyone was just freaking out. I mean, they were just really losing their mind about what was going on. So to have an alliance group, to have a team, to have support, to have a team that lays out all the protocols, it's kind of like almost having a cheat code or the cheat sheet. You know, it's something that could really make a difference in regards to making your practice go forward, or even allowing your practice to survive in this tough climate as well.
Well, you know, as a leading manufacturer, we've got a responsibility to make sure that we did the research, and again, as a partner, and knowing that you all who are in practicing still are super busy trying to manage your own business. So if we can spend some time doing some of the research and getting some of that information and best practices together to package it for you, that's what we spent some time doing. And we did that for even those customers who are not part of the alliances. The alliances then took data and took it to the next level, because they also incorporated a lot of the business metrics that you need to be tracking during this time period. But you know, the really important thing too is that we made sure that when you're ready to receive our sales team back in your offices, or however you want to make contact with them, because what we impressed upon them is that this is a pretty unsteady time, and people are trying to incorporate new rules and new systems in place. And so they may not be comfortable seeing you face to face right away, but they may need access to you. You may have resources that they need right away. So however the customer needs the partnership, that's how you have to exercise it. But when it's time for you to come back in face to face, we trained our sales team. They know what kind of protocols are going to be in place. They know how to come back into the office and not be disruptive. And they're not going to take any of your PPE because they will have their own.
That's great, especially being that there is a lack of PPE that's out there. You know, I wanted to circle back on something, Dr. Knight. I wanted to go back to tip number two, staying financially sound. In the current climate with COVID-19, we are finding out that a lot of practices and some big practices are not truly financially sound. We're seeing that, you know, a lot of these practices have been exposed that they thought their business was great, but in reality, it's really not. So I'm curious to know, how can an alliance group really help secure the finances? I mean, what is it that they do to make things better for practice? I mean, I know the government right now is out there helping out practices, but that's only so much that they can do, and it's only going to go so far. So let's talk about how an alliance group can really change the game when it comes to a certain climate like COVID-19 or something like this happens down the road.
You know, I think it's probably two part. One is taking some of the information that's been made readily available through the SBA, but maybe still hard to navigate. Taking that information, consolidating it, and making it much easier to consume in a way that makes sense for your practice and is not as time consuming as if you were doing the research yourself. So having direct access to that, and also having people who have actually gone through the steps and have either been successful or not successful, and in both cases can share out that information so that the next person coming along can do better. And so having access to that information, I think, is really critical. And then the second part is just combining that with also, again, taking a fresh look at your own business and making sure that the steps that you've been sort of marching to still make sense for your business. And reassessing what you're spending on. You know, you need to be spending at this time money on things that are business critical only. You know, so reevaluating your spend habits, spend pattern, what's important, what's necessary to keep the business. And you need to escalate the practice. You know, if you take the PPP money and hire everyone back, that may not necessarily make sense right away, particularly if you are gradually increasing the volume of patients coming in. So you want to kind of match those things up so that, again, you're not putting the practice in a position where shortly after you started, you're quickly out of resources again, because you don't have the volume yet. And then this is a great time to take advantage of not having the volume. And what I mean by that is what I like to call giving that concierge type care, right? Spending the extra time with the patient that you may not have had in the past with your staff and really giving them that full experience and talking them through why they need certain products, why they're having some of the challenges that they're having with their eyes and eye strain and neck strain and back strain and all of those things that people don't always put together, headaches. You know, they don't always put that together underneath the umbrella of maybe I've been spending 8 hours straight on my computer and then afterwards I'm on digital devices at night and then I'm on digital devices at night late where, you know, my melatonin is not able to kick in and do what it's supposed to do to shut my brain down and put me to sleep. So I wake up the next morning without a full rest and I'm tired all over again. And so just having the time to really have that conversation with them, and especially as it relates to their children. And then with children, if they're in contact lenses, if they're in myopia management, if you're doing anything like that, making sure you spend the extra time talking to them about hygiene. Because children are going to be touching their eyes. Mm-hmm. We all fiddle with our eyes, our glasses. Doesn't matter if you're a contact lens wearer or a spectacle wearer, we tend to touch our face. And the one thing we know that we need to not do is touch any of the orifices on our, right?
Yeah.
So right. It's just an opportunity to really be that doctor and maintain and manage well that doctor-patient relationship and to make sure that everyone in the office is doing the same.
I think doctors might find that they love practicing in this new slower pace in clinic. On paper, it sounds really scary to your revenue to think you're only seeing 50% of your normal patient volume, though.
But if the average sale price is 150% over right. what we're doing before, and the capture rate is increased significantly, you know, you kind of might come out ahead, and now you've got some new habits. Some habits that hopefully stick once you do have the volume back. And talk about ways in which you can then grow the practice. I mean, that's just going to take you straight up.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with you, Dr. Knight. I mean, I've had the opportunity to see patients every 30 minutes, and the game has changed. I mean, I've always been one of those doctors that prescribe from the chair, that will hold a patient's hand and, you know, just really give them that experience, but really solve their problem and give them a solution to make their life better. But now I have more time to really have that intimate conversation, to have that dialogue, to take it to the next level. And not only do I have that time, but my front desk has that time. My optical team members have that time. So every step in the office that the patient touches, you know, they're blown away by just that one-on-one customer service. And I've seen an increase in the capture rate. I've seen an increase in the overall reviews from the patients. I've just seen overall a better experience that the patient is experiencing, but also what the team is experiencing as well. Now, there is one con, being that we are in a skeleton crew. It does put a lot of wear and tear on our bodies and mentally. So at the end of the day, I'm spent, I'm tired, and I know my team members are as well. But I do hope that we all take from this experience, making that relationship, making it very intimate, making that relationship with that patient unlike any other experience that they've ever experienced, whether it's eye care or anything in life, because that will ultimately keep that patient held to the practice and increase the bottom line and grow the practice, and we'll come out of this COVID even stronger.
Yeah, I think a lot of that too is just changing our mindset and having fun again. You know, like you said, you love, and I know you do, you love practicing, taking care of patients. And when you see them happy, when you see them really getting some joy out of their experience, out of the selections that they've made, it makes a difference. It makes you feel like wanting to put in that extra time and energy to get things right. And when you're all working, you know, I was a 100 meter relay runner in college, and it's fast. But, you know, it didn't matter how fast you were. If you don't pass that baton right, you've lost the race, right? So yeah. Anything in the eye care center, you know, the front desk person's got to pass off to the technician, who's got to pass off to the doctor, who's got to pass off to the optician, and it's got to be seamless. And this is an opportunity to get that right. And once you get that right, it makes it fun. It makes it fun, and it's a great experience for the patient, and it's a great experience for the staff. You know, the staff are engaged, and they're engaged because they've spent some time, hopefully they spent their time wisely, getting themselves more confident and better educated on premium products and the reasons behind why you prescribe certain products. When I prescribe something, you need to know why, so that you can have a conversation on a different level with the patient to make sure that they understand the reason and the rationale behind why they're maybe paying a little bit more. But this is an investment. It's an investment in not only wearing something that makes you look good, but something that makes you feel good and something that's healthy for you.
Let's talk about step number three for building a healthy practice, which is preparing your office and staff. You mentioned earlier about the safety protocols that are available at slrpro.com. Around the country, I think many people are eager for the time when they can see patients again without a mask on or without having to wear gloves that are interfering with our ability to avert lids or express meibomian gland, or having to deal with the fogging at the slit lamp when we're wearing masks. I know none of us can predict the future, but how comfortable do you think we need to be with wearing PPE for the long run with patient care?
You know, that the person who sort of was the first person that sort of blew the whistle on the whole thing, that was initially suspicious that in his hospital, there were multiple patients who were in the ICU in isolation, and he questioned it. And he questioned it, but didn't get solid answers. In the meantime, he kept going ahead seeing patients. Well, this particular doctor happened to be an ophthalmologist, you know, and Dr. Wayne Lang was actually seeing an asymptomatic, and we'll say that slowly, so we know that, you know, it's not just the people that are coming in coughing or who have fever that you know readily to turn away at the door. That's why you have to keep the protocols in place. That's why you've got to make sure your staff are wearing PPE, because he was seeing a glaucoma follow-up that was asymptomatic, and that's who he contracted the virus from. And that was in, I think, January 7th, and by February 7th, he was dead. It's just, it's, you know, most people, fortunately, don't have that kind of outcome. It's probably, it was in an environment where you're just bombarded and there was no protection there at the time, and maybe, and they didn't have visibility to that. But we do know now, and when you know better, you need to do better. And it might seem a little cumbersome at first, but given the choices, you know, and you got to take care of the patient. I remember when the HIV/AIDS epidemic started, and we didn't know a lot of information at the very beginning of it. You know, we didn't know how it was passed. We didn't know a lot of information still. And I remember a new patient walking into my office and saying, I'm having eye pain and pain across my face. So those of you optometrists know where I'm going with this, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, I need to tell you something. I am HIV positive, and I understand if you don't want to see me. And I said, I'm a doctor. Why wouldn't I see you? So with that, you got to put the right safety protocols in place. So wearing gloves and making sure that I cleaned everything down and I followed up with him the appropriate way. That patient was a patient for life. I left practice. And, you know, it's just, so it's the same thing here. We've got to make sure that we are doing whatever we need to do to take care of ourselves, take care of the patient. And that needs to be communicated actually with the patients before they come into the office. So if you've been closed for a while and you're about to open, you should have already been in the cadence of communication with the patient. Kind of, first of all, really communicating with them in a human way to let them know that you have some that you're taken aback by this whole situation as well. I think that's being honest, and that's a way of connecting with the patients. And I've heard a lot of optometrists say they feel closer to their patients now through this whole ordeal, those who have been communicating on a regular basis. But you need to communicate with them and let them know when you're going to open and what the hours are going to be and what the new protocols are going to be. And you communicate that early, then they have an opportunity to kind of let that settle in so that they're not taken aback and that they are ready to have this new experience in the office. And another best practice I've heard is, you know, you've got these really great staff members who've been with the practice forever, but they're over 60 and they're in the high risk category.
Yeah.
Home and let them do all the follow-up care. And you do need to make sure that you're confirming these appointments, because if you're only seeing patients every hour, or, you know, you spread it out, you don't want a no-show, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that you got somebody that's on it, that's answering any questions, holding their hand, telling them what to expect. And most importantly, tell them how excited you are to have them back in the office. You know, and even when you have on a mask and your staff has on a mask, don't tell me you can't see a person's smile.
That's right. You smile with your eyes. Right. And if you have big cheeks like me, you'll see the mask moving around every time you talk. And I run my mouth a lot in the practice. So you see my mask constantly up and down, up and down. But on a serious note, a smile can really change the mood of the practice. I mean, when you're smiling, it just creates positive energy. You know, not only do you feel good, but it also radiates to your team members, to the person that's in front of you, that patient. And I know for me, when I feel great, I'm going to give, you know, beyond exceptional eye care. And I know my patient, when they feel great, they're going to want to spend more and create more for the bottom line as well, just simply because that positive energy will start to resonate in everyone in the office, and it just creates positive things. So it's very important to make sure you're smiling. Who cares if you have a mask on? Your eyes smile, your cheeks move. Make sure you're smiling in the practice, guys.
Are you guys doing? I mean, it's one of the things that you can do to that point, too, is just making sure that you're having regular communication with the staff. It might be a 10 or 15 minute huddle in the beginning of the day, just to kind of level set and get everyone on the same page and mitigate any issues that may have happened the night before. You can kind of start off fresh and make sure that you work through that and that there's no anxiety and everybody's ready to go. You know, and then just like children, your kids can tell when you're stressed.
Absolutely, that's for sure.
You can try and pretend. They can see through it. And your staff can too. If you're stressed, they're going to feel that anxiety from you. And that's going to stress them, and they're not going to be able to deliver for you to the patients. So it's really important for self-care. And the most important thing you can do for the practice, again, is to take care of yourself.
Yes.
As if you're not healthy and or you contract the virus, you're down for another 14 days. That can mean the difference between a practice surviving and not surviving. And, you know, just doing something like just making sure you're getting good rest, you're eating good meals. Like you said, you get home and you snack on some veggies and then wait.
Oh, yeah.
But if you can't get enough that way, there's a lot of immune supporting agents that you can use, antioxidants that you can use, you know, vitamin C, zinc, vitamin D3. Make sure you get those in on a regular basis, along with a good night's sleep and along with some exercise, even if it's just moving around for short periods at a time, some exercise, sleep, and the proper nutrition that you need. And you need to set the example. And if you got a break room, it's a good opportunity to put some of those little snacks in there. If you sell nutraceuticals from your practice, you know, make those available to your staff. But just make sure that you're doing the things that you need to do to take care of yourself, because you can't take care of the patients if you're not well.
Yeah, I agree. You know, one other thing that I do every day is I thank each one of my team members, and I look them in the eye and I tell them, thank you so much. I tell them, like, look, I couldn't have survived through this day without you. And with you, you've made my life a lot easier. And I thank each one of them every single day. And the smile that they give me and the energy that they create and the motivation that, you know, just that they get from just that conversation and just that simple thank you, it's just mind blowing to me. I mean, it really creates an environment in the office that's just so positive and so great. That, you know, we're on a skeleton crew right now. We all are on the same page that, hey, we have to make sure that we take care of each one of these patients. We have to find a solution for this patient. We have to generate more money to be able to bring more team members back so we can all be one family again and be able to create, you know, a great atmosphere for the patients in general. So for me, I love to tell my team members thank you, and I love that it gives them the motivation to go to the next level. So, you know, that's one other thing that I like to do just to create a better environment in general.
Dr. Glover, we want to help you make more money.
I love it. Bring it on.
So programs in place that we want to launch, and we'll be launching over the summer months just in time for you to get into your groove with the patients. And, you know, we've got some great campaigns that are going to help you sell multiple pairs. We've got some programs in place like our smart book technology that will help your patients have a seamless experience with scheduling an appointment when it's convenient for them, not necessarily when it's convenient for you. So we want to make sure that your current and your potential patients have an opportunity to get to know you, and they can do it in a seamless, painless way that makes access to your office. They can schedule their appointment at 9 o'clock at night, if that's what works for them, without even bothering you, because we've got the technology and we've got the marketing tools to be able to do that for you. And once they've scheduled that appointment, we can also remind them, help you remind them, and the reasons why. You know, we all know as optometrists that there are over 267 diseases that can be detected through the eyes. And I'm not talking about eye diseases, I'm talking about systemic diseases. That's information that the AOA has made available to all optometrists. But there's so many other reasons why the patient should be coming in. And we don't always have an opportunity to tell them that, but part of our technology is to remind them of, if you're feeling some visual strain, here's the type of technology that you want to ask the doctor about when you come in for your visit. And your visit is, by the way, X day. And make sure that you keep that appointment. And it makes it all about them.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. You have to make sure that you have that intimate relationship. That person that comes to see you, you got to make sure that you give them not 100%, but 200%. You got to create an experience that is unlike any other that they've ever experienced. And that relationship, that intimate relationship, needs to be developed at the front desk with the technician, with the doctor, with the optical team member, hell, even with the person that may be cleaning the office. But you have to be able to put them on that pedestal and give them 200% every single time they come into your office.
Dr. Knight, you shared some of the great programs from Essilor that will be launching in the coming months, from second pair sales initiatives to new scheduling technology. But one of the other great resources you have for doctors is guidance on establishing an emergency plan. What tips do you have for doctors to prepare for financial trouble in the future God forbid it happens, but we probably all realize we need to be better prepared.
Yeah. So I think, again, it goes back to looking at your business plan, looking at your business with a fresh pair of eyes. And we've all had now had a chance to do that with a fresh pair of eyes, and making sure you have a team available that can really help you make the right decisions around your business. If you have never used a practice consultant, this might be a good time to check one out. You don't necessarily have to hire them for a full scale operation, but you could utilize them to take a fresh look at your practice or maybe your new business plan or whatever your new ideas are to make sure that they are sound and make sense for the business. We need to make sure that we have 3 to 6 months of cash. You know, I used to say you either need to have good credit or you need to have a lot of money. Perfect. You gotta have one or the other. You know, you need
true.
To have some, if nothing else, we learned from this situation, you've got to have some money set aside. You need that personal banker. You need that line of credit. You need access to capital. And the time to do that is now. Not when you need it. It's now. So those are the types of things that I would do. And then just make sure that you continue to keep updated with new information. This is this whole epidemic that we're in is continually changing. It's not going straight. It's turning, twisting. And just because you looked at listened to a webinar a month ago doesn't have the most information. You need to have the most accurate information today. It's a changing proposition. You've got to invest the time and the energy and the headspace in continuing to be agile and to adapt your practice accordingly. So, I mean, those are the things that really, to me, in my mind, that you need to be doing on a regular basis to put your practice in a position that when an emergency happens, you're best prepared.
And something that you mentioned as well earlier, when it comes to banking, you really need to have that relationship with a local bank. I mean, we always are talking about support local business with eye care being optometrists, but how many of us are really working with local banks? And, you know, during this COVID-19 crisis, those that have had those relationships with those local banks have been able to get that triple P money. They've been able to get those loans. They've been able to make things happen, because I've heard a lot of horror stories with folks that are business owners and bank with some of these bigger banks. They haven't been able to get access to those funds, or they haven't been able to have conversation or dialogue with those bankers. So it's very important to make sure that you have these relationships when tough times take place, you're able to just pick up that phone and make a call, because it makes a world of a difference.
Absolutely is. And as you said, those relationships should always be already be in place. But if they're not, this is the opportunity. And this is an opportunity also for your community to make yourself known as the expert. You're the expert. You're the expert on eyes. You're the expert in healthcare in many ways. You can be the expert on how to manage through and navigate through this COVID epidemic that we're in. This is an opportunity to do that and really scale up your visibility in your community and so people know that they can trust you and that they know that they're going to come into a safe environment and that they're going to have an experience that they're looking for.
Dr. Knight, you're absolutely right. We really have to accept that we are experts in our community, especially when it comes to eye care. So it's very important for us to show our face in our community, because our patients look at us as leaders. And as leaders, patients are going to come to us when they have problems. But also as leaders, this is a good time to, you know, rub elbows with those legislators that are out there, with those politicians that are out there, because when they see us on the front line, when it comes to scope expansion, when it comes to protecting our rights, when it comes to pushing that bill through, they're going to think of us first. They're going to be like, man, Dr. Glover was on the front line. He was helping to solve those medical problems. He was making it so that it was less folks going to the ER and going to him first to help out with eye care. They're going to think of us, and they're going to help pass that bill, because they know we are in the community. They know that we are on the front line, and they know that we are great when it comes to anything healthcare related as well. So it's very important to show our face and be active in the community.
Well, and you know, when I was in practice, all of my legislators, from the state representative on both sides of me, the congresswoman, and I did say woman, our state senator, they were all patients. So I had an opportunity to talk to them about any legislation, any bill, anytime they came in for their appointments. And if I had an issue with getting a loan from the local bank, I would have gone to them. that's what, you know, when you develop a relationship with them, I supported them. I supported every one of their campaigns and they supported me and any initiatives that optometry had. So those are the types of things you need to form those relationships before you need them. I have an uncle that's a congressman and he's always said that the time to reach out to him or to someone like him is before you need them, because that's and early on in their campaign and in their tenure, because they remember that. And so the other thing I want to just point out is optometrists have some of the lowest default rates in the country when it comes to loans. We don't default on loans. We pay our bills. So that's all the more reason why you should have a good banking relationship with your local bank. Like I said, this is a time, it's a renaissance time. It's a time for us to do a reset, stop, think, reset, and get ready to elevate the practice and take it to the next level.
I love that phrase, a renaissance time, because out of times of illness historically, there have been great and beautiful results. If you think about the Black Plague and the Renaissance coming out of it, for example. Hopefully, as we get on the other side of COVID-19, we'll have optometry reimagined in a bigger and better way. Thank you so much for your insights today.
Let's remember that we're all in this together.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Knight. Remember, you guys, current times are very challenging. It's no doubt about it. But there are some amazing tips that Essilor is providing for you guys. Just to recap, tip number one, choose partners and leverage the power of community. Tip two, stay financially sound through the crisis. Tip three, prepare your office and staff for patient return. Tip four, communicate with your patients. And tip five, plan for the future. If you want to look into this in a tad bit more detail, you can always hit up EssilorPro.com/COVID-19. Dr. Knight, thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. Have a great one. All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars and make sure you follow us on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you named it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020 and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.